good evening. Merry Christmas Eve. You're welcome to stand up if you would like. We're just going to sing some carols together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Your reigns, let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. The curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. We'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus.
And night to all he brings.
sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, then said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas doth bring redeeming grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Sing, O little town of Bethlehem. Praises the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. You may be seated.
Well, we just want to wish you all Merry Christmas Eve, and just so thankful that all of you are joining us for this special time, just a family-oriented service, and just celebrating our Savior. So we're just going to have some more special music. We'll have some scripture reading. We're going to take communion later. We're going to have a really brief message, and then dismiss so we can go enjoy the time with our families.
And if this is your first time visiting Andover Christian Center, our ushers have a packet that they would like to hand out to you, just saying thank you for being here today. We're so glad that you came. Andrew, right over here. We're so thankful that you're here today. And we just want to say a very Merry Christmas to all of you. It is so wonderful to be with our family and our friends at this time of year and just reminding ourselves of what Jesus did for us and just the change that it made in each and every one of us. And so thank you so much for being here this evening. So at this time, we have Jody and Michaela, and they're going to be coming up and reading some scripture for us. We're so excited. Thank you so much for being here. All right. I'm going to get this to you. If you want to wait just a minute for Michaela to come on up.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, God himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You should call his name Emmanuel.
Isaiah 9:6. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Adore him, Christ. Can come up.
Luke 2:1-9. And it came to the pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so it all went to be registered, even though everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee to out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while her firstborn son wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there were no rooms for him in the inn. And now they were in the same country as shepherds living out in the fields, keep watching over the flock at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Luke 2:10-21. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the angels returned glorifying and shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
See what I see.
Thank you, everyone. That was awesome. Praise God. Well, I'm going to read from Luke 2, verse 8. It was already read earlier, but I'm just going to go ahead and read this again. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Verse 11, It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In John 3:16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He gave his Son so that you and I could be saved. So that's not just a religious term. That's not a Christian easy term. That's not something that somebody made up. It's not something that's like a club or a group. You know, if you're saved, people sometimes get these ideas about that these are just man-made terms. But that word saved actually, it means to deliver or to protect, literally or figuratively. It's translated throughout the King James Version. It's translated heal, preserve, save, to do well, to be made whole. The world is used of in a number of different ways, but one is it's used of material and temporal deliverance from danger, suffering, like from sickness, to be made whole. It's used of spiritual and eternal salvation granted immediately by God to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also used inclusively for all the blessings bestowed by God on men in Christ. So when it said a Savior was born, Christ the Lord, he was all these things. He was born so that men could believe on him and then be saved from all these things in the world, but be saved most importantly from the grip of Satan that he had over all mankind. Mankind needed a Savior. It's not something that's just figurative, that man just, well, like a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not even a group of people. Like, you know, you're saved if you're part of our group or if you go to a certain church. It's literally that mankind was under the grip. I mean, you hear it in the Christmas carols, so many places where it talks about I can't quote him exactly, but it's talking about being under the power of Satan and that Jesus actually literally delivered us from that. Literally, legally, he made the way so that mankind could be delivered because there's no way we could deliver ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And mankind is under the grip, under the power of one called Satan. And we needed Jesus to come to the earth as a baby. So when the Word of God says, "There was born to you this day," the angel's saying, "There's born to you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That was saying, there is a way out of that, and by believing on him, you could be saved, which means you're delivered, which means you're taken out of that state, that you're made whole, that you're delivered from all these things that are in this fallen earth. So, you know, Christmas time, it's a time of redemption. It's a time to look and say, Jesus came as a Savior to redeem us from all these things, to be right with God the Father. It's a time, you know, it's at the end of the year, and I know we have the calendar year coming up, and Tony, I was talking to somebody before service about that. You know, it's like that twilight after Christmas and then before you turn into the new year. That's a new beginning, but Christmas is at the end of the year, and it can remind us that, wait a minute, no matter what's gone on this year, no matter what has happened to us, that Jesus came to redeem us and to save us, and that we can experience that regardless of what we have or have not partaken of, that we can in the new year partake more of what he has redeemed us from, that he came to save us from, that actually has been made available through what he did. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. It says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus is the only bridge. It says there's one mediator between God and men. Now, Jesus is God. The God Almighty is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus came to pay the price so that mankind could be right with God again. And there's one mediator, it says, between God and men. That's the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. In other words, he was the Savior of all. He paid the legal price. He came as a baby, but he ultimately came to earth to die on the cross to pay the price so that we could be right with God. God yearned to have a relationship with us, but because of sin, because we're not perfect, because we've all fallen short, that keeps us from communing with God the Father, even though that's his heart, but because he's so pure and right and holy, we can't be in his presence without something changing, without getting rid of sin. And the way sin was dealt with was Jesus came as the Savior to deliver us from that state so we could be right with God, so now we could come in the presence of God legally, justly. God could accept us. Not, he loves us, but legally he couldn't just say, he can't lower himself unless there's been something that dealt with that sin, and that was Jesus' sacrifice. In the NLT version of Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." That's what Savior means. He did something. He purchased our freedom. What? With his blood, with his life. In other words, he laid his life down so that we could go free. He didn't deserve any punishment, but he laid his life down for you and me so that we could be made right with God. He actually shed his blood, became the Savior of all mankind for you and me, not for himself. 1 John 2:2 in the NLT, it says, "He himself, Jesus, is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." And those angels came and announced there's a Savior. They were saying for the whole world, Jesus was making the payment so that the whole world had access to God through Jesus. That all the sins of the whole world have actually been dealt with. In other words, we couldn't make the payment ourselves. We couldn't. It doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how good I am. It was not enough to bridge the gap between us and perfection, which is God. And so we needed a Savior, so that payment was made for all the world. But the world, then us, we have to do something about it. We have to say, "God, I accept that." In other words, the payment's been made, but then we have to say, "I'll take that. I believe that, and I'll take it for myself." How we access that payment, how God becomes our Savior through Jesus, how Jesus actually becomes our Lord, is when we believe that what the Word of God says is true, and we say, "I believe that, and I receive." That's the only way. In other words, you can't earn it. All you can do is accept what he did. Romans 10, verse 9. In 10, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." See, that's how the Savior becomes our Savior, is by doing this. Verse 10, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." So the Bible says this is the way the Savior, who has made the payment and the ransom for all mankind, becomes our Savior, is that we believe in our heart that we're made right with God. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we declare that he is Lord. Yes. And we say, "I believe that. I accept it and I declare that he is my Lord. Then it said, the Bible says, then we're saved. In other words, now we're delivered. Not because of anything we did, we just accepted what he did and we declare, I believe that, so that's in my life. Now the Savior becomes our Savior and we are saved. Then we're in that. Saved just means that we've accepted the Savior, what he's done. That's what it means. It's not a religious term. You say, well, are you saved? And like, it's our definition of being saved. No, it's the Bible's definition of what the Savior came to do. And we're saying, yeah, I believe that. You are the Savior. You did what only you could do. I believe it. And the Bible said God Almighty declared and decreed that if you believe it and you declare it in your own life, then that salvation comes to you, comes to me, and we are saved. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. In other words, if you come to God and you say, I believe on Jesus, God the Father will not reject you because that's why the Savior came. That's the whole reason he came, is to save people that couldn't save themselves no matter what they've done. It's not, you don't save yourself and then receive the Savior. You say, I need a Savior. I believe you're it. And you say, Jesus, I believe that you are who you said you are, that you rose from the dead. And I declare you're my Lord. That's how then the Savior becomes our Savior and we're saved. And Jesus said, my Father will in no way cast anyone out. In other words, nobody will be rejected. Amen. Because that's the why the Savior came. Romans 10:13 then says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. That means doesn't matter who we are, if we call on the name of the Lord, we are saved because that's why the Savior came. Amen. We're so thankful for what Jesus has done. We're just going to declare this and pray out loud together. If we've already made this declaration, then we're all just going to do it together. And, if you've never declared this, this is an opportunity to declare it. No better day than on the day that we're celebrating Jesus' birth, the eve of his birth, just to declare that what he did, we're reaffirming that we are saved because we've accepted what he did. Let's go ahead and declare this together. Say, dear God, I believe on Jesus. I believe that he is the Savior of all the world. And I believe that he rose from the dead for my sin, for my acquittal. And you said in your word that if I believe that if he rose from the dead, and I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I would be saved. So I declare that he is Lord, that he is my Lord. And I believe in my heart that he rose from the dead. So according to your word, I am saved. You are my Savior. What you did has now come into my life. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you did pray that for the first time after service, Shelly and I are going to be standing right over there by that door. Just say, hey, I did. I prayed that for the first time. We have a packet for you that'll help you in your journey just to know him and know what God has done through Jesus. At this time, we're going to take communion together as a congregation. And regardless if you call this your home church, if you've done exactly what we've talked about just now, that you've believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, even if you just did it for the first time now, you're welcome to take communion with us. Everybody should have received communion elements when you came in. If you didn't, please raise your hand and the ushers there in the aisle, they have those for you. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 26. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The verse 24 says, "When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" His body was broken so that he could be the savior of our body, that he could be our healer. That no matter what, that God did not create our bodies to be sickly. That's not from God. God isn't the author of sickness and disease. Jesus is the Savior, and he came to make us whole. That word "save," like I mentioned, is literally, there's places in the Bible when it says Jesus healed somebody, that this, the word is actually the same word that's translated "save" in other places. In other words, he saved you. Saved you from what? Saved you from that sickness. And so this wafer that we're taking, it represents his broken body and the healing that's in Jesus. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" This cup represents his blood that was shed, that we mentioned, his blood that was shed for us so that we could be right with God Almighty through Jesus. We could have right relationship with him. So we're going to take these together. You can go ahead and get the wafer. We'll give you just a moment. And once you have the wafer together, we're going to take it together. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go ahead and take the wafer together. Go ahead and break and eat. And go ahead and open the container and get the juice ready. Just give us a moment. Everybody ready? Let's go ahead and let's drink the cup that represents Jesus' blood, which he purchased our redemption with. Thank you, Lord. Just in a moment, you can go ahead and just in a moment, we're going to pray, but you can go ahead and pass the packaging to the aisle and the ushers will get that for us. But let's just pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you that he came to earth to be our Savior. Thank you. We believe on him. We trust in him that he saves us, that he is the answer for every problem, every issue, that he came to save us because we couldn't help ourselves. And we're so thankful for what Jesus has done. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we just thank you that now as we're celebrating this time that you're with us, and we just remember you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead and you can pass the, should we just wait till afterwards? If you do it, all right, go ahead and pass the packaging to the aisle, and the ushers are in the aisles. They will pick that up from you. And Shelley is going to come and sing what is my favorite Christmas carol. That's not why, but "Oh Holy Night." But we just enjoy her singing it every year. So, Well, that concludes our service this evening. We're so thankful that we got to spend some of this time with you and just wish you a Merry Christmas and just a great time with your family, friends, whatever you're doing tonight, tomorrow, and during this time. Just wish you a very Merry Christmas and just full of the love and the peace that Jesus came to provide for us. So we just love you guys and just have a great time. Anything you want to say? Good. All right.